Welcome to the Mostly Podcast at Night, episode 212, Parasite.
Act like you own this podcast. We do. We do own this podcast.
Are other people supposed to act like they own this podcast?
Apparently.
Because that wouldn't be so bad.
That wouldn't?
I could be like, yes, you own it, not me.
It might be confusing for our listeners, though.
I know. That's just spreading chaos.
Ah, hey-o.
Hey.
I own both of you.
And wait, what?
That was Mama Chaos coming in for a
dark
moment.
Sentiment.
Yeah.
Hiya.
Hey, everybody. How you guys doing today?
Doing fantastic. Took Winnie to the vet, one of our cat audience, to the vet. The vet really was impressed with her improvement, and she's doing good. So she may have to stay on this medication, and she may not. It kind of depends.
She's looking good, though. She's looking a lot better than she did.
Yeah. We're trying to tied her down to just once a day instead of twice, because you don't want to feed them more medicine than they need.
Right.
So the idea is, if we cut it down to once a day instead of twice a day, and she doesn't start licking or itching more or causing lesions, then we can continue to keep it once a day.
Well, that'd be good.
Yeah.
She was looking like she belonged to a leper colony for a while there.
She was, and she looked like Frankenstein's cat monster.
Poor Winifred.
Yeah.
Well, poor nice. Thing.
So, yeah, so she's doing good. So we had a good day at the vet. She was completely out of her mind with anxiety, though, like... Mm-hmm. We talked with the vet about what to do about that and got a prescription for gabapentin to knock her out. Well, to calm her down.
Yeah.
Did you get one for anti-carnage too? Because that might help things. Just saying.
Yeah, you need some anti-anxiety medication?
Maybe. Just saying. No, I'm kidding. Well, cool. I'm glad she got...
Yeah, they were like, are you familiar with gabapentin? And I was like, I'm on it.
Well, that works out then. Can you guys share the same dose or a different dose?
No, it's a different dose.
Well, that sucks, because that could really cut down your, you know, pharmaceuticals money.
Yeah, except I would need all of the ones I would be getting, so...
All right, fine.
It wouldn't work.
Saying a little sharing couldn't have hurt you. That's all I was saying.
Okay.
You know, when it comes to your cats... A little sharing never hurt anything, right?
So now I'm a bad cat parent, you're telling me.
I did not say that in that many words.
Mm.
You insinuated that from what I said. Mm-hmm. So that's on you.
Oh, is it? Okay, I see.
Poor Winnie.
So Winnie's doing better, so I'm doing good.
Good. Glad to hear.
It's a lot of stress off of me when she does better.
We have Mama Chaos with us today. How are you, Mama Chaos?
Doing good. I'm also happy. Yeah. Good. But I see every Friday. But anyway, it's also good to see Winnie looking better. Can be kind of creepy at times. Luckily, it wasn't contagious.
Yeah. Our other cat didn't get it, fortunately.
It's all her own problem, but.
Ugh, could you imagine if it was?
If it was contagious? No, because then I would probably take it home to my cats, and Matt and Just Joe would take it home to their cats, and then we'd
guys
try it to our friend's cats.
Kill me.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
You guys would
they
be,
give it to two friends, and so on. So
you guys
on,
would
so
be
on.
Killing me, oh my God.
It'd be like an STD, we just passing around the whole friend group. That sounded weird, but you know what I mean.
How are you, Carnage?
I am good. I had alcohol today, so I'm better than normal. So,
very good.
Nice.
I need to have wine with lunch every day.
Do you?
I think this should become a thing, and I'm going to tell my boss this, that we should just have like a box of wine in the fridge at work. Like they were pushing for vodka in the water cooler, and I'm just like, that seems like too much because the customers might get it and there might be, you know, questions. But if we have a wine box in the fridge, no one's gonna know. We can just go tap that bitch anytime we want it. So,
and just say it's Kool-Aid or whatever.
Exactly. It's my special juice.
Your special
it's
juice.
It's my special juice to get through the day.
It's your Jesus juice.
We did call that one. We did call it that when I was in communion. First communion. Jesus juice.
Oh, that's wrong.
What? It's Jesus juice. I don't remember what we called the bread. Probably just wafers. We weren't that clever. We were 8. Stop looking at me like that. You try to be clever when you're 8. You weren't very clever. I know you weren't.
Nope, I was not very clever when I was 8. I was,
I was telling people
I was an alien from outer space when I was 8 years when I was like 8 years old.
Okay, that is fabulous. I'm like, loving that.
From like 8 to 12, I did that.
Let bees crawl on your hands.
Oh, that was just when I was a kid, like playing in the yard.
8 to 12.
No, you're lying, because I know you told someone that last week.
What?
That you're an alien from outer space.
I didn't say I stopped. Oh, there was a distinct cooling off period.
And are you an alien vampire then?
Well, yeah, that's what vampires are. They're aliens.
You know, you'd be so insulted. My coworkers think I'm a vampire.
Why?
Because I'm allergic to the sun. So they think that automatically makes me a vampire.
I am insulted.
Like, you would be so insulted. Like, get it right. I'm not the vampire.
That's right.
My BFF is.
That's right.
I'm the serial killer. Come on.
There's,
now.
You know, people are just so ignorant as to what vampires even are.
Guilt by association.
I know, right? Well, if that's the case, you're guilty for like 57 murders. I'm so sorry for that.
Oh, I know. I'm when you get caught, I'm totally in trouble.
You and Joe, you help me hide the bodies. Anyway. Yep. Should we go into who we are and what we do?
Sure. We are the Mostly Podcast at Night.
Damn it. I'm not ready. I was going to have Newt up again. Sorry. Mostly. I don't do it as well as she does. I'm sorry. I just can't.
Mostly.
We
are two best friends of 20 years who bicker and banter our way through a different podcast episode each week. We take turns picking the flicks so you don't have to, because that's how we decided to do it when we were making up the podcast rules. But also because we want to share them with our listeners, or we want to get back at our co-hosts, because sometimes we like to do that. Currently, I, Chaos, am awaiting vengeance for Lake Placid 3, but have not yet received a suitable movie from Carnage.
I got lazy. Sorry, I picked a good one this week.
I'm just keeping track now. I think we should keep track.
Keep track of how long it's been since I actually picked a revenge pick for Lake Placid 3, or...
No, like, keep track as in, like, well, who was the last one to get to do a revenge pick?
A shit flick?
Yeah, to do a shit flick, or...
What was that shit flick movie you made me watch where there was actually shitting in it? What was that movie? And I still fucking hate you for that. And Brother of Carnage still refers to that movie. He goes, does this one have shit in it? I'm like, shut the fuck up. I hate you so much right now. Defecation?
Yes, that was what it was called. It was a short film.
Fucking stole you for that one.
I skipped it. I fast-forwarded through it.
Yeah, you didn't tell me that part. I thought I had to watch the whole anthology. Didn't tell me you were skipping past it, so I watched it like a motherfucker, and I had to watch that, and I am horrified and traumatized, and I can never watch people shitting again, apparently.
Nobody put a gun to your head, just saying.
You told me to watch the fucking movie. I do what you tell me to do.
Oh, okay, so...
So I owe you for that one still, too.
I see. So I'm up to...
You're a loaded gun, Chaos.
All right. So, no, for reals, though, Lake Placid 3 is the last revenge flick.
Yeah.
Okay.
And because that's how our friendship works, hashtag friendship goals, we have an octagon where we MMA style fight in the hashtag Marianas Trench of Hate when we don't see eye to eye on movie picks, which has been not as often so much recently. Recently, we've been kind of seeing eye to eye, except for Lake Placid 3, of course.
It's kind of scary. Ever seen eye to eye.
Yeah, I know.
Something's broken.
Because Carnage is the new horror aficionado, and Chaos is the old horror aficionado. So it is rare when we agree on a pick. So also spoilers ahead and expletives ahead.
Dude, we need to say that from the very get-go. We just need to change this up because I've said fuck at least 5 times already. I'm just saying.
Yeah, probably we should put that in the intro before we start talking.
Before the music starts. Like, we should just do it before the music starts. Be like, there's a lot of swears. Don't listen if you have bad ears.
We could, we could do that. We could put up a little disclaimer before the music.
I don't give a shit. Honestly.
Disclaimer, swears. I mean, if you cared.
I don't give a shit. We have like an age limit on this podcast, don't we? No one of the age of 18 should be listening to it or something like that.
On
iTunes, isn't there a disclaimer for that?
No, it's just that we have explicit language.
Okay, well then we're fine. We're totally fine. It's fucking fine.
Yeah. Technically, like, every single episode is stated that it's explicit. So, like, when okay. You go to listen to it, it says explicit.
Will not be sold in Walmart in the 90s.
That's right.
Tipper Gore will have a problem with us.
Yes, definitely.
She's still alive.
I was going to say, yes. Where is Tipper? What happened to the Gores?
Wait, no, it wasn't Tipper Gore. Who that was? Was it Tipper Gore? The one that had the problem with them.
Yeah.
Was it her with the heavy lyrics, metal in Walmart?
The lyrics.
Was it her? Yeah. Okay. It was either her or Chaney or somebody. I remember that. Oh.
Me rolling my eyes so far into the back of my head that I pass out for a minute.
What about the fact that I can remember it was Tipper Gore or the fact that I know if Tipper Gore was still alive or not?
No, Tipper Gore having a problem with heavy metal in the 90s.
What band was it? Was it Godsmack? Godsmack.
Seriously, Godsmack? Godsmack's not even. Godsmack's not even that heavy.
I am just telling you who she had a problem with. It was Godsmack.
That just cracks me up.
Should we get to it? Should I just jump right in?
That's
it, our warnings and everything, right?
We haven't done like the tomato meter and stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So this week we did Parasite. It was done in 2019. It was an R rating. It was 2 hours and 12 minutes fucking long. And it was an 8.5 on the IMDb scale. What about the tomato meter?
The tomato meter is certified fresh at a 98%. Critics' consensus, an urgent, brilliantly layered look at timely social themes, Parasite finds writer-director Bong Joon-ho in near-total command of his craft. Audience score, 90%.
I think this is one of the first horror movies we've done that's won an Oscar. Am I incorrect in saying that? I mean an Oscar for Best Picture, not an Oscar for, like, Best Creatures or Costumes or Makeup. Does that sound accurate to you?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know anything about Oscars. I'm not committed to saying yes when I'm not 100% sure.
I'm going to say yes, and if I'm wrong, we'll figure that out later.
Okay.
We'll put that fake news thing over this episode. We made a decision this week to not do casting. Not because, well, A, we don't know anyone in the cast, first of all. It's a South Korean flick. We don't know them very well.
Right.
B, we're trying to be very respectful and not fuck up everyone's names.
Right.
Because that will happen for us.
Yes.
As I speak in Italian. Stop staring at my hand because I know I'm speaking in Italian. It's happening. So we are going to skip cast this week. They are all amazing.
Yes.
And go see other things they've done, but we're not going to destroy their names.
Yeah. We don't know. We don't even know, like, who's who. So, I mean.
I know who's who, but I just.
I mean, like. I know, like, their English names. I don't know their, like, actual names. I don't know.
Right. So we'll probably refer to them as the Park family and the Kim family.
Yeah.
So that's just going to be more appropriate for us, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we hop to the 5-second summary then?
I would love one of Carnage's famous 5-second summaries.
I love how we go from respectful to completely disrespectful in a minute here. Okay, family tries to get ahead through unscrupulous means and things go awry. It's pretty apt.
I guess so.
You don't like that? You cannot
like
that.
Awesome as always.
Thank you, Mama Chaos.
No, it wasn't that I didn't like it.
Your mom likes me better than you.
It wasn't that I didn't like it. I was just thinking about the poor Kim family.
Okay. Tell me more.
I just felt bad for them.
Okay.
Like,
do you have more?
I don't know. I just felt bad for them. I didn't really, like, I was kind of on their side.
Okay. Well, should we hop right into it then?
Yeah, let's hop into it.
Get us started.
Okay, so there's the Kim family. They live in a small semi-basement apartment in Seoul. They have they have jobs folding pizza boxes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the... Yeah, that's like very part-time.
Yeah, and they struggle to make ends meet.
I love that set, though.
Huh?
I just thought, I know, I'm picturing the set in my mind, the set of their apartment, because that was a set.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just like that window up to the street where you can see, like, the drunks paint.
I know. They did have a really great set.
What the fuck was up with that bathroom then? Why do you have to climb like Mount Everest to have a poo?
I don't understand.
Is that common, do you think, for like gravity? Is that like a gravity toilet where it's so up so high that it just pulls the poo right down, or
it sucks it right out of your
bum? Is
that
what they mean by gravity toilet? Did you just say it sucks it out of your bum? Oh my god. How did I miss this? Is that what they mean by gravity toilet, do you think?
I don't know what a gravity toilet is.
Did I make up that term just now, maybe? Is that not a thing?
I am very confused.
I've heard of a composting toilet.
I don't even know if I've heard of a gravity toilet.
I might have made
that
up.
That's a hole in the woods.
But yeah, you gotta like climb like 4 stairs just to get to the toilet.
I didn't understand what was up with that either. I didn't know if that was a soul thing or a just like because they have this weird sub basement apartment that things are just different because of the way they probably split up a bigger house into smaller units and mm-hmm. ended up that way for some reason.
Oh, maybe that's it, because it's a sub-basement.
Stranger things have happened, yeah.
That's on Netflix.
Yes, it is.
Sorry, I can't help. I'll be an Ave, I promise.
Sure. So they get this rock. I don't know what's up with this rock. It's a scholar's rock.
You ever seen one of those before?
No.
We have one in our house.
Don't
know what the fuck it's for.
It's meant to promise wealth.
It doesn't work.
It's a rock.
It's a rock. It's a big, heavy rock. It's not a small rock. It's not like a crystal or something. It's like a big-ass rock.
I call bullshit.
Why?
That fucker floated. There's no way that thing's that heavy.
Well, it could still be rock.
Yeah, but would it be heavy rock if it was able to float, though?
Like, I didn't say it was heavy rock. I just said it was rock.
Oh, I thought you said it was heavy.
Oh, I don't know. It's a rock. It's a big rock. I said it was a big rock.
Oh, big rock. I thought you said it was I'm sorry. I thought you said it was heavy. It is a big rock, yes.
Like, it's not just like some little crystal for crystal healing or something. It's a big rock. So, the students, Min, who gives them the rock, he also gives his friend a job. He says, pretend you go to this school and you can tutor this daughter that I'm tutoring and you can make oodles of cash, basically.
And I love it because he only picks him because he thinks he's going to not hit on the girl because Min plans to marry this girl as soon as she graduates high school, right, is what he said? Or as soon as she goes to university?
Yeah, as soon as she starts college, basically.
Yeah, he's going to marry him. So that's why he picked Kevin. That's his Americanized name, Kevin. Yeah, that worked out well for him.
Yeah, that did not work out at all. Because Kevin pretty much immediately falls for the girl.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I did not think she was very... I don't know. She was just kind of bland.
Yeah, she was cute, but yeah, she's boring. Yeah.
Those puppy dog eyes and the bangs, the way they had them cut.
She was
She'd
cute.
Look up. She was really cute. I know we've seen her and then the father of the other family in that one about the creature in the sewers.
The creature.
That steals his daughter.
Yeah.
What movie is that?
Oh, I think you guys did it.
We did it.
But anyway, yeah, they both look familiar.
It was called the...
Was it him? I don't know. But
not him. Not the father. You're talking about the Nathan Park? Because he wasn't in anything that we've done lately.
No, the father.
The Kim father?
Yeah, they're the family that was in the basement. Yeah.
I think he was in Train to Busan.
But... Yeah, that might be it.
I thought he was in... The Omen.
He was in Howling.
Not The Omen. The it starts with an O.
Oculus.
It wasn't Howling?
No.
Because he was in that.
I have not seen The Howling.
I thought we did do The Howling.
Maybe the 70s version?
We did not do The Howling.
Hmm.
I've been waiting for The Howling to be streaming so we can do The Howling.
The Host.
The Host.
That was it.
That's
it. Yep. Okay.
See what happened
anyway.
To the podcast. We missed out on stuff.
Mm, we still talked about it.
Did we do The Host?
We did The Host.
Was I there for that episode?
Yes, you were. Oh. Mom, when you move the cable, the mic picks it up.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
He was in The Host. She wasn't. The girl wasn't.
No, but...
Yeah, the guy, the Kim father
she's
was.
She's been in something, yeah. Something I've seen...
So, he manages to forge these documents showing that he's in school.
Sister's amazing fucking graphic designer.
Yes. It's
better than you are. You've never forged me.
I've never forged any graphic
designer. An Oxford diploma before, and I'm disappointed in you because you haven't.
I could, but, you know, like, that's illegal, so.
Like, you care. Make me smart. No.
She forges his documents so that he can show transcripts for being in this school, and they give him the job, especially because he has a glowing reference from Min, who they just absolutely love.
Yeah, and Min even says how the wife's, like, young and naive, like, she'll believe anything, and you see that throughout the whole movie, like, it's so, you know...
Right.
She's believe anything. She's such a sucker.
I was thinking this was going to go in the direction of, like, this family is just pretending to be naive. And they're really, like, evil.
Mm.
Like, that was what I was kind of hoping was going to happen. And then it didn't happen like that.
Things didn't go awry for you.
No.
Sorry. Sorry I disappointed you.
Yeah. So then the Parks have a young son called Dasong. Or mm-hmm. Dasong. I think it's Dasong.
That's what it sounded like from when they were saying it.
Okay. Yeah. The mom is kind of like obsessed with this idea that he's some misunderstood art genius.
He's just a pain in the ass 5-year old.
Yeah, he's just a pain in the ass 5-year old. But so then what's his name?
Are we calling him Kevin?
Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin's sister uses Min's name again to get the job as an art therapist for Dasong.
Yeah, we're just going to refer to her by her Americanized name, which is Jessica.
Jessica, yes. Yeah. And then
They slowly get in there. So once Jessica is kind of a hoot when she's teaching this kid. Like, she doesn't take any shit. Like, Mrs. Park wants to be on every first lesson, and Jessica just, like, kicks her out. She kicks out the housekeeper. Like, she's just kind of she's a trip and a half.
Yeah, she is.
She is. Yeah, takes no prisoners.
Yeah.
But she spins this tale. Like, apparently she Googled all this stuff about art therapy and all this just stuff. Yeah. And she's able to come back to Mrs. Park and be like, this is darkness. This over here, this corner, I think she said it's like the edge of schizophrenia or something like that, or just all this stuff.
His like schizoid corner or something like that.
And she says, she's like, kind of hones into it, like how like psychics can hone in on something. Like, she just takes advantage of her so bad. Something happened. Something in his youth. Don't talk about that. Like, you think it's this big thing, like he fucking witnessed something being murdered or someone torturing his dog. It turns out to be so funny. I'm just sorry, keep going. I'm going off on a tangent, but she really spins it well.
I don't remember what is it that he
saw the ghost, which was the housekeeper's husband when he was coming up from food one night.
Okay, we'll explain that later. Yeah,
okay.
We'll have to explain all that right. Later. He saw a ghost, basically.
He saw a ghost. He saw a man. He looked like a man.
It looked like a man.
Nobody took this kid seriously, and that paid off for them one time when they talk a few times in the movie about the smell that they had from where they lived. Mm-hmm. You know, that underground smell. And he said to his mom, maybe dad was there, but didn't you notice they smell alike?
They smell
the
same. Yeah.
So then they went home and were like, okay, we all have to shower with different soap and launder with different soap. And yeah. But yeah, a few times they were insulted about smell.
Yeah. And
especially Mr. Kim.
Yeah. And that's where we're at was like Jessica, she's devious as shit. Like,
yes.
She. In the very first night she's there, she manages to plant her undies and get the driver fired.
Yeah, she plants her undies in the car for Mr. Kim to find, and he does. And so he thinks that his driver has been doing it in his car and fires him.
Mr. Park, right?
Yes, Mr. Park.
Mr. Park, yeah. And then, of course, they hire Mr. Kim. They get him.
Right.
You know, Min's recommended Kevin. Kevin's recommended Jessica. Oh, Jessica happens to know of a driver. You know, her brother's or her cousin's uncle. You know, they're all different, not the same family. But and then they happen to get each other in there. And this is the really shitty thing, though, is what they do to the current housekeeper.
Oh, yeah.
And this is Jessica again and Dad. Well, I think actually all of them. They find out she's allergic to the fuzz of peaches, which is kind of funny. So I'm just going to jot off for a second. This actually happened to the director. He was with some friends that one of them was really, you know, he said, oh, I'm allergic to peaches. They didn't believe it. And they were throwing a peach around jokingly in a grocery store and he broke out in rashes and this horrible thing. So that's what he used it from is from his childhood. So, but yeah, so they find that part out and then they use it to.
Right. They sprinkle it on her. They say, yeah, they say she's got TB and they sprinkle it on her to make her sneeze. And then Mr. Kim pretends to find a bloody rag in the kitchen's waste paper can and shows it to Mrs. Park, who freaks out.
The $3,200 waste basket.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous.
But I don't know. I mean, are you supposed to just fire somebody if they have TB? Isn't that kind of mean?
Well, it's a communicable disease, so it could spread to the whole family.
It's contagious, yeah. Very contagious. And if they also made it sound like she was hiding it from them so she wouldn't lose her job.
Right.
Plus, remember, yeah. Mrs. Park, highly naive.
Right.
Right.
I just wasn't sure what the status of TB... I honestly don't know anything about tuberculosis.
Oh, highly contagious, yeah.
There's still cases in the country. But
the only thing I know about TB is it used to be called consumption, and sometimes people would pretend to have it because it was romanticized as a wasting sickness.
Mm-hmm. You see it a lot in like
Victorian novels and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Jane Eyre, like Bronte.
Yeah,
Austin. You know, yeah, Dickens, all those. Mm-hmm. Well, since she got fired, and her name is Moon Gwang, that was the old housekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
The mother, Chung Sook, is hired. So we've got all the family members in one place finally. Devious.
Very devious.
Very devious. Yes, it's good. They're all making money. But the way they went around it is so devious. Anyway, just putting my 2 cents out there. Do you want me to continue? You're looking at me. You're giving me the look.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Park was a very successful man. They have that poster in their house of him from some, maybe a construction project or, you know, so he's pretty much a big deal. And they managed to infiltrate his family.
Inner circle.
Yeah, his inner circle. Yes, thank you. You know, fairly easily. So I think it's just the mom was frazzled. She's got a teenager and a 5-year-old who bounces off the walls, you know. And school's a little more important to them over there than here. But I think she was very easily led. And he just left her to make the decisions and hope for the best. But I just like the comparison of the two families. The Parks, you know, Mr. Kim asks him if he still loves his wife. And he's like, you know, kind of basically saying, I guess, you know, what's love?
You know?
And the Kims were so close. You know, they were a tight-knit family, but they had nothing. So you get that look at, you know, both families.
Mm-hmm.
In the traditional sense.
Different world.
Yeah. He's almost, you know, too successful for his own good.
Yeah, because he's barely there.
Right.
Well, they get to a point, too, where it's Dasung's. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
Birthday.
Oh, yes.
And they make a point of it. So it's kind of, we're going a little bit further out, but I'm going to bring it back because Mrs. Park makes a point of saying, you know, ever since that one birthday when he saw the ghost, they don't spend his birthdays at home. You know, they go different places. So this time they're going camping. So they load up their one SUV and they're off like a herd of turtles. And it's only supposed to be Chung-Sook that's supposed to be there because she's the housekeeper. She's going to take care of their three adorable fucking dogs.
Yes.
I want one of those dogs or all of them.
Their dogs are so cute.
But the rest of the Kim family all comes to just kind of enjoy themselves. Like, you see Jessica, like, relaxing in the bathtub, having a bubble bath, and them getting into the liquor and just enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
Enjoying the luxury. Which I don't blame them. I'd probably do the same thing if I was out of luck
for
as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. 100%.
Actually, I can't say they have. I haven't. I don't know. I'd want to, but I'd be too afraid of cameras in this day and age, I think. Like, I don't know. Because I was going to say, I watch my boss's dog. I've never taken a bubble bath in their bathroom, so maybe I wouldn't do it. I thought about how amazing that would be, and then I thought, oh, if they have cameras, that's kind of weird, and that they see me taking a bubble bath in their bathtub, I mean, that's just kind of
weird.
They
have a camera in the bath?
No, I said if they have one, because you never know where cameras are anymore, with nanny cams and that kind of bullshit. I am a paranoid motherfucker. Have you not known this about
me? In the bath.
You know what? I will not justify my paranoia to anyone.
In the bath.
Shut the fuck up. I am paranoid.
If they had one in the bath, that's illegal, and you could take them to court over that.
Well, it's
that.
Their master bath. So the bathroom that I stay
that
in...
That doesn't matter.
I'm just saying.
They can't have a thing in the bath. That's not cool. You can take them to court for that.
I never did it. I'm just saying I'm too afraid of there's being cameras there. I don't venture up in the upstairs except to feed the fish. And then I go back downstairs. I run my little ass down to the basement where it belongs. You know, I don't stay on the second floor for very long because it scares me. So
you're such a wimp.
I am a wimp. I'm a paranoid wimp. Shut the fuck up. Don't judge me. I can feel your judgment. Anyway, they're drinking, they're eating, they're having a good old time. And Moon. It's Moon. Hold on.
Just call her Moon.
No, that's not right.
Just call her Moon.
Moon Quang. Moon Quang? Moon Gok? Moon. Fine. Moon. The old housekeeper comes. And something we need to talk about is that a very famous architect made this house.
Yes.
And he was the only previous owner before the Park family
right.
bought the house. But anyway, Moon comes, the old housekeeper comes and says, oh, I left something in the basement. Sus.
Yeah.
Sure. And the rest of the Kim family's hiding. But fuck me. I am fucking horrible. Hold on, I'm a horrible person. We knew this, though. Chung-Sook, finally lets her, like, she kind of pushes her way in. And she just goes on down to the basement, which I love their basement. It's kind of like there's no door. It's like these beautiful cabinets with all these teapots and china and everything. It's just a doorway down into this basement where there's like, it's like a pantry down there. Like they've got plum tea or whatever the hell it is. Like just jars and jars of stuff. And when Chung-Sook finally goes down there, you see Moon Gok trying to push aside this fucking bookcase.
Oh my gosh, it's hilarious. It is so funny.
Poor
she
lady.
Is
she was
suspended
frantic.
In midair, completely horizontal, with her hands on the bookcase and her feet on the wall, and she's trying to push it open. It's hilarious.
And there's like a grill plate stuck underneath. So that's what they finally pull it out and they're able to open it. And you see this labyrinth of a basement going like all the way down, like to find this man whose name I don't know because I'm really bad at names. It's Moon Gok's husband, though, who's hiding down there for tax evasion.
Tax evasion?
Was it? No, loan shark? Loan shark. He's avoiding loan sharks.
He's got loan sharks after him. Yeah, he does.
He's been there for 4 years, 3 months, and so many days.
12 days or something.
And he got stuck in there because of that plate he couldn't get out. Poor guy.
Yeah.
He's got a nice setup down there, though. It's like a full setup with a bookcase and nice potty and everything. And
yeah.
It's not bad. I'd vacation there.
You would.
I would. It'd be fucking awesome. Shut up. You get cell service. It's fine.
It's totally fine.
Totally fine. But Moongok's like explain this whole situation to Chung-suk and trying to convince her to keep her secret and let him stay there. And for some fucking reason, Chung-suk's like, no, I'm going to call the police. Like,
yeah.
What are you thinking?
What was that?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Like, how are you going to explain it to the police? Like, seriously dumb.
And how do you not have empathy for other people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, people even worse than your situation.
Right, like, you, first of all, you bilked her out of her job, lying about her health. Probably got to report to the health department for TD, if they're anything like our health department. And now you're going to call the cops on them? Really? You're kind of a bitch. You're kind of our Chad. Just saying. Nothing saying we can't have a female Chad.
Oh, what is the name of the female Chad? Didn't
Do we
have
a name?
Female
Chad? Is it a Brenda?
It was either, like, Brenda or Becky.
Maybe it was Becky.
No, make it Brenda.
You like Brenda?
Yeah.
It wasn't Karen. I know that because Karen's way overused.
Yeah.
And Chung-suk's not looking to speak to their manager. She's looking to speak to the police. So that's completely different.
Let's make it Brenda then.
All right. So she's a complete Brenda, which is the female version of a Chad, which is...
A Chad is the member of the group who is the biggest asshole.
Succinct. And true.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more reasons why I think Chung-suk is the Brenda. This is one of them, though. But unfortunately, the whole Kim family, who's eavesdropping, falls into frame, basically. And they stupidly call each other dad.
Yeah.
So Moongok takes advantage and films it. And she's going to send it to Madam so she can get her job back.
Yeah.
Why it matters if they're all the same family, I don't know. But, like, who the fuck cares?
Yeah. I guess because they lied? I don't know. Otherwise, I don't think it would matter.
How do they make it? They make it upstairs somehow. They're chasing after her for the phone, and they make it upstairs. All of them do. And at first, they're Moongok and her husband are like making them do stupid stuff because they're holding this video over their head that they ascended.
Mm-hmm.
But then somehow, the Kim family comes together and tackles them. Like, pounces on them all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And they're holding them down when the phone rings. And it's the Park family coming back. Because it was raining.
Yeah, and that song didn't like camping in the rain.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you were poor, you camp in the rain. I've camped in the rain many times. It is not fun. We do not turn around for rain, though.
Yes, unfortunately, you do not. You do camp in the rain, yes.
You let that tent flood and you enjoy it. Or pretend to, at least. Memories of a show of the childhood.
God. You've lived to tell the story.
I have, and I still have all my toes, too, surprisingly. So I guess I'm okay. So they're returning.
Yeah, she's like, oh, so you're close. And Madam's like, yeah, we'll be there in 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. So then they're like, oh, shit.
And make us ramen.
Make us, yeah, this kind of ramen. For Da-sung, so that it's ready when it'll be ready when he gets there.
I think that's the only reason why they called, too. They wouldn't have called otherwise if they weren't going to make the ramen for them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they...
Yeah. Smooth.
Kevin and Mr. Kim struggle to get them down in the basement. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Mr. Kim's focused on the husband, getting him, like, bound up and gagged and... They leave Moongok behind,
mm-hmm.
and she is about to the basement door. And this is another reason why Chung-suk is the Brenda is she kicks her down a flight of stairs.
Yeah, she does.
You enjoyed that?
That was hilarious.
That's horrible. She died from that blow to the head.
Is that your favorite
was awesome
kill?
When she died. It was so
that
cool.
That was my favorite death right there.
You know what my favorite death is?
What?
After the podcast, Mike. Oh, just kidding. If you end up dead, I'll be in so much trouble.
Yeah, I'm a witness, by the way.
So they managed to get most of it cleaned up. Jessica's under the table. Kevin's putting the diary away, gets caught upstairs for a little bit, manages to get downstairs eventually. Mr. Kim, managed to gag them both, and he's like, oh, she's still breathing, it's fine.
Hmm.
And get them bound up, and they managed to get upstairs. He did figure out, though, when he was down there, Mr. Kim was talking to the husband, that he's got this method of making one of the lights blink in Morse code. Because Da Song was in the Cub Scouts, and he would know Morse code, and he was thanking them. We don't know if Da Song ever realized what the fuck was going on, but...
We do. Da Song, like, they show him translating the Morse code that he'd written down, but then they never show him doing anything with that information.
Oh, yeah.
So I have no idea what the purpose of that was.
Yeah. And what he said, they didn't show him like untying it, untying him or anything.
No.
So,
as far as that kid knows, that basement doesn't exist. So how would that even work?
Good point. It doesn't exist unless he was telling him in detailed instructions. That would have taken like at least 40 nights to tell that story.
Right.
First, what you do is push the bookcase, go horizontal, push it with all your might. Then you follow the stairs 3 miles down under the earth. Then don't be scared of the ghost you find down there. It's okay.
Yes, because this is the ghost that Da Sung saw in the first grade.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the husband who was sneaking out of the
basement.
And so it's like, it is creepy though. Like when they show just his eyes coming up over. Mm-hmm. And so I think that would scare a kid in the first grade.
Fucking scared me. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was pretty scary.
So you got Jessica, Kevin, and Mr. Kim on the table. Da Sung's outside. He decides he does want to camp in the rain outside by himself. He takes his little teepee because he's very into American Indians.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a teepee. He's out there. And Mr. and Mrs. Park are on the couch.
Mm.
Oh, God. Canoodling.
Yes, canoodling.
Canoodling. And until the Kims can escape.
Yes.
And they finally get to escape. Once after the canoodling happens, they get very tired and they are out like lights. So, can't fucking think of the names. God damn it. Chun-Suk? Chun-Suk. It's the only name I remember. Chun-Suk. And Moon-Gwag. Chun-Suk has to stay there. She's got her own room there, apparently. Which is fucking nice.
Yeah.
Because poor Kevin, Jessica, and Mr. Kim, they go home to the house. Their basement's flooded. Like...
Their basement apartment is totally flooded.
And it's like, it's a delusion. The streets and the stairs, like, there's like at least, what, like 3 feet of water in that basement, I would think?
When he gets there.
Yeah.
When he's leaving, it's like up to his neck.
Mm-hmm. And they grab like what few things they can out of there. I love how Jessica, like everyone's grabbing things and Jessica's like, oh, here's my cigarettes and I'm just going to have a cigarette while... Well, I wait for everyone else in the bathroom on top of the toilet that's actually plumbing up sewer water.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, can you imagine that smell? I can't smell, and I can't even imagine that smell. Like, oh.
Yeah.
And the rock. The one thing that Kevin grabs is the rock that's floating.
Mm-hmm. It's floating. Yeah.
They make it to the gym. They spend the night there. And then they're all called back to the house because Mrs. Park gets this grand idea to have a party. Let's have an impromptu party. Bitch, I don't know how much money you have, but who throws this kind of impromptu, catered? How do you get that together in less than, like, 6 hours?
You know people?
I don't know.
I guess you know a caterer and then you offer to pay him double.
And a celloist and everything else. And
yeah.
A bakery that can make a bakery cake. And I was just amazed with her party planning achievement here.
Well, it is a movie.
Yeah, it's true. So they put the birthday on. Everyone's back to the house. And Kevin's got this plan. Everyone's got a plan, but Kevin's got this plan. He's got the Scholar Rock, and he takes it downstairs, or he's going to take it downstairs, you know, after meeting his charge and making out with her for a while, and he's got this plan. Ick, by the way. She's underage. Ick.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And, the husband and wife during the night, the wife is, I'm dizzy, but she was able to chew her way through his bindings before she goes up and vomits. So he's free and clear. As soon as Kevin goes down there, he attacks him.
Yep.
With that Scholar Rock.
Yep.
And they make their way back up
to... Kevin drops it.
Yeah, because Kevin drops it, right. And what is he? He puts it there on his neck and tried to chain him to the pipes in the basement, the husband does. What was that was around his neck? He made some kind of like collar and leash thing that he tried to trap him down in the basement at first, the husband did.
It just looked like wire.
Is that what it was?
Coated wire.
Well, he gets free, and they chase each other up the stairs where the husband gets the drop on him yet again and hits him with the rock again.
Yep.
Mm. I mean, luckily he's told the daughter where he was going. He was going downstairs, way downstairs. So, I mean, she finds his body and carts him out to the hospital later, but...
Yeah, you kind of think he's gone. You don't think he's going to survive.
Well, especially after the second hit, I was like, oh, there's all this blood everywhere. And then the man picks it up, the rock, and hits him again.
Yeah, I was like, okay, he's down. He's dead.
He goes to the kitchen, and he knows that Chun-Suk is the one that kicked his wife down the stairs because the wife was saying that.
Yeah.
Chun-Suk. He grabs a fucking knife... But for some reason, he goes after the daughter first. Stabs her right through the heart.
Yeah. Oh, that was so sad.
Yeah. That was needless and sad.
And, of course, Da-Sung sees the ghost and starts having another seizure.
Yep.
Which, do you guys know anything about the child seizures where she was saying 15 minutes to the hospital before they die? What was that?
I don't know. No, she was saying... Something about, I don't know anything about child seizures. I thought she was saying 15 minutes to the hospital or 15 minutes by car. It doesn't really matter.
Oh, I thought she was, when I was watching, I thought she was saying it was kind of like a stroke thing. You only have so much time to get them there so they can work on them or their brain's gone or something. Okay. Maybe I read it wrong then.
I didn't think seizures... Well, I mean, seizures can do brain damage, but that's... I thought that was rare. I thought they didn't... I thought they weren't deadly.
I know nothing about seizures, let alone children or adults, so I'm not really sure.
I read about seizures a little bit, and they didn't say anything about, like, if a child experiences a seizure, they will die in 15 minutes. So, okay. I don't know.
Well, that song goes into a seizure, and they're ignoring Jessica, who's bleeding. Like, it's like a fucking knife through the heart. Ignoring her completely.
Yeah.
And trying to get to the hospital.
Trying to get the keys from Mr. Kim.
Mm-hmm. Who's trying to get his daughter to stop bleeding.
Right.
Meanwhile, Chun-Suk is grappling with the old housekeeper's husband, and she manages to get a skewer. One of the barbecue skewers right through his heart.
Yeah, well, right through his side. It went through his side, like she barbecued him or something.
She's done that before, clearly.
Clearly, she's done that before.
And that's when Mr. Park tries to roll him over to get the keys, and he makes this face about the smell of him. And though the smell has come up before, it's come up like when... They didn't think the Kims were around, and they were talking about, the smell of
when they were under the table.
Yep. And then when he was in the car with Mrs. Park, she was sniffing too and unrolling the window. Like, he kept smelling himself. So he made that face for the husband, and he Mr. Park just snapped.
You mean Mr. Kim just snapped?
Mr. Kim, thanks. Grabs the knife and stabs Mr. Park, killing him.
Yeah.
And then runs off. And then we get to the end here where it's... Kevin wakes up. Jessica's dead. Mr. Park's dead. And Kevin and Chun-Suk get arraigned and get put on probation only. But they were never able to find Mr. Kim.
Right.
Which...
Who, did we mention stabbed Mr. Park because of the making the smell noise?
Yes. Stabbed him and killed him.
Because you were talked about you talked about the smell noise, but I don't know if you mentioned that he...
I just said he snapped and grabbed the butcher knife and stabbed him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, killed him.
Yeah, he did kill him. And has never been seen from again.
Yeah. And then, what's his name? Kevin is at the house, but he's, like, hiding in the bushes, in the tree line, in the woods, outside, in there, outside. And he's watching the house. And, he notices that the lights... the outside lights are moving in a weird pattern, and he realizes after some time that it's Morse code, and he writes down the Morse code and transcribes it, and it's a note from his father.
That's right.
Because he didn't, like, none of the family knew where Mr. Kim was either.
Mm-hmm.
And the note is basically saying, like, you know, I'm stuck down here for now, but someday I'll see you again. And then he writes his father back, although he has no way to get in touch with him.
Yeah, I didn't get that, how I was going to get it to him.
He writes his father back just saying, someday I'll buy that house and you'll be able to walk out a free man. And it's heartwarming.
Except it's never going to happen, so it's sad.
Except it's never going to happen, so it's sad.
End movie. Kaz said you had some thoughts on this. So.
Oh, that's... dear. No, I just thought it was definitely a social commentary movie. And when they were going home with the flood, I was just impressed even the first time I saw it. They had to walk home in the rain. And they just kept going down another set of stairs and down another hill and down another set. You know, they were down at the bottom and the Parks were the top. I thought that was, a clever way to say something without just using the different scenes and them going down, down, down. I like that.
Well, if I can add on to that, too.
Sure.
It's the next day, and Mr. Park and Mr. Kim are talking because they're conspiring about being these evil Indians that are going to go attack Jessica.
Yeah.
Mr. Park was saying, how inconvenient the rain was. It was just so inconvenient having to come home, and here you've got the Kims that lost their fucking home completely. Mm. Inconvenient. The man doesn't know inconvenient if it kicked him in the ass. So I just adding on to that social commentary part of it, too, just the...
And
complete naivety.
To add on to my own bit of social commentary, I would just like to add, eat the rich. Thank you.
Thank you, Chaos.
You're welcome.
Well said.
Now, I like what you said, too, about the family, about how you could tell that Mr. Park found Mrs. Park just convenient. She was convenient. She was there to keep house and... He, you know, derided her about, like, she wasn't a great housekeeper. God, without a housekeeper, that place will be a mess in a day, and she can't cook, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she was there to be his plaything when he wanted. I mean, and then you got Mr. and Mrs. Kim that were just, I don't know, they were just very, they were thick. The whole Kim family was just, like, thicker than thieves, but they were thick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They were.
Tight-knit.
They were really tight-knit, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas you saw with... The Parks, when they come home from the camping trip, they immediately scatter like cockroaches to different parts of the house.
Right, yeah.
Very visual.
And just
effect.
Start barking orders and,
mm-hmm.
yeah. sad ending. Good movie.
But I want to say, not really a horror movie.
No.
Yeah, I don't get how it's called a horror movie either.
Horrible, but...
Drama, I would say.
Drama. And I don't like drama.
I tricked you, you bitch. No, I'm just kidding. No, everywhere called this a horror movie. It was why it was so incredible when it did win an Oscar. Yeah. A horror movie won an Oscar. I mean... Yeah, I don't consider it a horror movie. I mean...
No.
Unless they were, like, home invaders from the get-go, that'd be a horror movie, like The Game, you know? I don't know. It was just more thriller. It was kind of almost thriller.
Almost
at the end.
A thriller. Mostly a drama.
Great. Do I get revenge now? Because I accidentally picked a drama that was labeled a horror?
Yes.
My boot's going to go so far up your ass. You'd be tasting my socks.
Wow.
Tasting my socks.
Ooh. I don't care for that symbology whatsoever.
Don't get an emotional over there.
Yeah.
No, I really thought this was horror. I didn't know. I hadn't seen it. So I would apologize if I cared enough to, but I don't care.
Bitch.
Just kidding. I'm kidding.
You will apologize right now.
Sorry. Sorry. Did you like it at least, though? Even though it was a drama, and I'm so sorry that you had to watch a drama. Did you at least enjoy it?
I mean, for a drama, it was okay, I guess.
High praise from Chaos.
Wow.
High praise. God, it brought your horizons a little bit. It's a drama. I didn't make you watch Schindler's List like I watched you. I made you watch this. Get over it. There's killings in Schindler's List, too. Could that be a horror?
No.
Can we call that historical horror?
No. No. If Moby Dick isn't horror, neither is Schindler's List.
Who said Moby Dick wasn't a horror?
No one. I was just thinking about Moby Dick. I really, there's one on Prime and I want to watch it.
We can watch it. We can call it a horror.
No, it's not.
Who says? Anyone has access to IMDb could change that shit right now. So I might go in and change it and call it a horror. And then you'll be tricked and you'll be like, let's watch this horror film. And I'll be like, okay.
You think I just have no object permanence, do you?
I've heard that plan before. I don't think it's ever been used.
Nope. Don't kick me. I know I'm in kicking distance, but resist.
The urge is strong. As a Sith, I am often told to let the hate flow through me. I'm not told to resist urges. God.
Other than it being a drama.
Yes.
Any other thoughts you have on this?
I liked the Kims. I didn't like the Parks so much. Well, except for Madam, it's hard to not like her.
She's so sweet.
She's really sweet, and she doesn't really have a malicious bone in her body.
I like that song. I thought he was a sweet kid. Cute kid. He's a kid, you know what I mean? Like, he's not like... a little evil or anything. He's just a kid acting out like a kid. You know?
Oh yeah, definitely. For sure.
It's not their fault they got a bland daughter. I mean, bland just happens. Call her Bland Ann.
Bland Ann. I don't know. She's not so bland. She's got like two illicit love affairs going on at the same time.
She never leaves her bedroom.
She's popular. There must not be a lot of choices in that area. Just saying.
Yeah, people were careful.
I mean, like, Min was cute. Like, the one that she was making out with, you know, after Min, I thought she not traded so down.
Just because he touched your wrist doesn't mean no.
Exactly, because Min was way better looking.
Plus, Kevin stole your diary and read it. That's gross.
Well, she doesn't know about that.
I'm telling her now. He stole your diary and read it. That's gross. Stay away. Oh, plus his dad killed your father. Stay away.
Well, yeah, I think she's going to stay away now.
What were your thoughts on this one, Mama Chaos?
Oh, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Good.
For the things I said, for the reasons I said, but yeah. Perfect. I have seen it listed as horror as well. There were some horrible things in it, but that's about it. Hey, but ladies, I got a split. So I'm going to rate it a 7.0.
Nice.
That has nothing to do with anything. And thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming. It's been so long since you've been on. So we'll have to bring you back in.
I'm glad you missed me. All right, guys.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Do you want to rate and then we'll just do fan fiction?
Yeah. Okay,
rate it up.
It's your turn.
Oh, God, but I have to think, though. I enjoyed it, and I don't mind a drama. So I'm actually going to go, like, an 8.124, because I'll probably watch it again. But it'll probably be, like, a couple months before I watch it again. But I enjoyed it.
Okay.
How about you?
I enjoyed it, but it's a drama, so that gets points off for me. So I'm going to say it's a 7.
That's not even that bad of a score for you, honestly, for a pick of mine. That's like high praise coming from you.
It's a 6.
For one of my picks. Fuck you. No. You don't get to change your rating.
I think I do.
No. It's locked in at a 7. Our listeners heard that first, and that's what's going to happen.
I don't think it works like that.
I think it is. You don't get to take points off because I was excited that you had high praise for a movie I picked. You forgot I picked it, didn't you?
I remembered you picked it.
I thought maybe that's why. Lowered it. There is no fan fiction on fanfiction.net, but there are on Archive of Our Own, including one very special one that was mixed with Scooby-Doo. So go check that out.
Nice.
Velma makes an appearance.
Oh, Velma.
Anything to pimp before we go?
No. You probably shouldn't continue to ask me that because I never do and I never have.
I don't know what you got in your little pockets of sex workers or what you have. I don't know what you do. I don't know your life. You could have things to pimp. I have no idea. Stop looking at me like
that. We are part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. Morbidlybeautiful.com is your place. I'm getting the flip the bird. Is your place for all things horror. They have a great network of podcasts, and you should definitely check them out if you're looking for other horror podcasts. We are on all the social medias. We are on Facebook. We have a Facebook community run by our social media maverick, Maverick. We are on Instagram and Twitter, all at Podcast at Night. Carnage is our social media manager or whatever. I don't know. It keeps changing. I think you're marketing manager, actually. Carnage is our marketing manager. Chaos does our editing and our graphic design. And there is a merch store, which will be linked in the show notes. So if you've got some cash to flash, give it a chance. I think right now they're actually, it's a Threadless store, and I think right now they're actually having a sale where all t-shirts are $12. So check them out. And that's all from me, Chaos. So I'll just say thanks for listening and stay bloodthirsty, friends.
Good night from Carnage. And as always, we're filmed in front of a live studio audience of sleepy kitties. Purr. I can't do a purring. Can you do a purring for me?
I can't purr.
That's as close as it gets.